following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 36 for Monday, April 19th, 2010. A scheduling problem. Weren't we just here, like yesterday, recording a podcast?
No, that was Little Dude.
Oh, that was Little Dude. Little Dude and his sidekick. And you're right, that was Friday.
Yes. I hope people enjoyed the experience of
Funtown.
Not Funtown, Farmtown.
Farmville.
Oh, jeez. How quickly we forget, or try to forget.
Exactly. Or try to forget. That's it, right there.
But if you've missed it, episode 35 was a rousing...
1 hour and 1 minute long.
Demonstration of Farmville on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is so popular, we thought that blind users might like a experience. And I had a couple of tweets over the weekend that said, please, not again.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, there was one or two people that said, maybe an occasional status update of crops, but other than that, no, please.
Well, we did this to be funny and amusing, and actually we had a couple people say, oh, I loved it, and a couple people say, not again. And the point we were trying to make was, why is this so interesting?
Yeah, what's the fascination with the game?
Exactly.
And I don't get it and probably won't keep up with it too much.
But speaking...
But my pineapples came out perfectly fine.
Oh, good. And you had lentils too, didn't you,
last night? Yes, I ended up doing lentils again last night.
Okay. Well, speaking of Farmville, we now want to switch gears and start off by talking about Farmtown.
Yes, the Facebook game, Farmtown, has been riddled with a virus or malware issue where a link to, I can't remember what the...
It's like a greeting card or something.
Yeah, a greeting card site has malware on it, and it tries to sell you or infect you with fake antivirus.
In other words, this is software that's saying it's going to find viruses on your computer and instead plants malware on your computer.
Google released information last week saying that they did a survey of 240,000 websites,
mm-hmm.
and 11,000 of those had some sort of antivirus issues as far as malware.
Mm-hmm.
And they were figuring that 15% of all web pages were infected with this particular malware.
Wow, so this just isn't Farmtown. This is like everywhere?
Yeah, it's the security center stuff that we had talked about previously that's kind of been going around.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biggest thing that people need to remember is if you see this, do not click on it. Run your own antivirus and don't buy from a pop-up window
exactly.
on your web page.
Exactly. What's the difference between Farmtown and Farmville?
Well, for research purposes,
I went
into Facebook and found Farmtown, and it sort of looks like the same thing. You've got a square plot of land, and you create your own little dude or dudette, I guess. The graphics and screen and picture and thing doesn't look as nice and as simple and as clean as Farmville, but they look like pretty much the same thing. Come buy our goods to spiffy up your
farm.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Plant your crops and all this.
Same thing, just different look to it a little bit.
Well, Facebook, bearing in mind that there are all these malware virus things infecting the applications and games associated with Facebook, Facebook has come up with what it calls its new safety center.
Yeah, it's an attempt to give people a resource for finding information. It's for students, parents, schools, administrators, law enforcement, that kind of thing, as far as protecting themselves.
Yeah, and it's set up like an FAQ with like a question and answer. Like, what do I do if I receive if I land on an application that gives me a pop-up window? Or what do I do if one of my friends suddenly turns suicidal? I think that's actually a question in the safety center.
I believe it was.
And so it's a question and answer type of thing. I think it has a search feature where you can search for different words and categories.
And it gives you useful information so mm-hmm. that you can report abuse or report someone that might be thinking of suicide or
exactly.
drug abuse.
And it not only, in those situations, it not only tells you how you can protect yourself using Facebook, it also tells you maybe numbers in your community that you can call to report abuse or privacy violations or something. So not only does it tell you how you can tweak your privacy settings if there's a violation, but it also tells you numbers in the community that you might want to call. Like maybe you want to call the police. So it'll give you those numbers.
So if anyone wants to check this out in Facebook, they can go under the help section, and then there will be a link that will send you to the safety section, mm-hmm. which is actually the safety center.
Speaking of safety, we have been talking since March on and off about the Marion County, Pennsylvania school case that the kids in high schools had laptops and they had webcams in them that were supposed to be turned on only if laptops were reported lost or stolen.
Apparently, they have found that, or at least the parents and child that have filed the lawsuit feel that the school has more information than they first thought.
Mm-hmm.
With pictures of the kid sleeping or in forms of undress, you know, kind of the speculation that's been going on over and over again. One article I saw was talking about the fact that they're thinking that the administrator that was getting this information might have been like a voyeur
mm-hmm.
or something.
So they want to see her email and her personal computer. They put in a petition with the judge to have her personal computer turned over to them, their attorneys, to look through to see if there are any such material on there so that they can prove that she was taking the pictures and, looking at them at her leisure for her pleasure. Also, it turns out that they said there were only, 40 snapshots taken. It turns out there are now hundreds of them are surfacing of
yes.
different children. And I think of this kid, there are like 400 alone.
Yeah, supposedly the school district is saying that they turned the webcam on because his parents did not pay the $65 security fee.
$55.
Was it 55? I thought it was 65.
Well, whichever. They're saying that the parents...
There was a five in there.
There was a five in there somewhere. There may be two fives. I don't know. The school system was saying that the parents did not pay the insurance fee, so the webcam was turned on. We never heard this earlier. They're all of a sudden coming up with this new reason.
Well, there's no telling what
there's no telling
said in court or
really.
Whatever, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's not sure whether it was an official statement or not.
Yeah.
So
that's just bits and pieces of where this very troubling case is now. Stuck in court with legal wrangling like we probably knew it would be.
But we will continue to search the internet high and dry for more information on this.
Exactly. We will now switch gears a little bit and turn to Twitter.
Yes, that wonderful thing that some people can't stand to hear about. Twitter is trying to go a little bit corporate
mm-hmm.
in terms of making money and such. One thing that they're planning to do, which was released during the Chirp conference this past week, was the fact that they are going to start putting advertisements in search results. So
mm-hmm.
if you search for trending topics or things, you will get a advertisement in your stream that will be sort of a different background color or something, and it's kind of obvious that it's a advertisement, and it'll stay at the top of your search results.
Mm-hmm.
One example I saw was if you searched for like Starbucks, you might get an advertisement saying that Starbucks will be offering free coffee on April 15th or something
mm-hmm.
like that. My only question to that is, okay, if you are a screen reader user, is there going to be something to indicate that this is actually an ad?
No, it depends on how it's displayed.
Because the only thing that they're going to do as far as the display is actually put it at the top of the page and the background color's changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you depends on the ad, I guess, as far as whether you can tell that it's an ad
when
you read it.
One thing they're also thinking about doing is to try and slip tweets, accompany tweets advertisements into your stream, kind of on the sly. And they're working this, and they're not phasing it in right now. They're testing it with a small group of individuals. I think they've been running some kind of analysis program on people's tweets to see what they talk about and are trying to slip in advertisements based on what people talk about a lot of the time. Now, I don't think this is something that's going to happen to everybody. I don't think it's probably going to happen for a long time yet. And I guess from what I was reading, it may be something that you can opt into or out of. So they are going to be experimenting with various ways to integrate advertising into tweets.
Yeah, I think they're very nervous about doing it into the actual stream.
Yeah, they are.
But supposedly they'll be catered to things you tweet about or mm-hmm. you like and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Library of Congress is now going to start archiving tweets.
They have gone back to the very beginning of Twitter, and they have collected all the tweets forever from the beginning of Twitter, from everyone who's ever used it, and they are going to be putting these tweets and future ones into an archive for posterity. I guess it's for, you know, like a long time in history. What will these tweets say about us? I guess that's their reason for doing it. I don't know. I think this may even include direct messages.
No, supposedly not.
Okay.
Supposedly direct messages will not be included mm-hmm. because that's sort of a one-to-one type of thing, but just general public communications.
Yeah.
If you have an account that is private, it will not include those either.
Protected?
Yeah. If mm-hmm. you're private or protected, it'll mm-hmm. will not be part of that.
Well, that's good to know. I know people who are extremely upset about this. I know someone who specifically said, actually more than two someones, who specifically said they are no longer tweeting about anything personal. They are only going to tweet about computers and technical matters because this is very upsetting to them. And I guess, understand that.
I can kind of see it, but...
Yeah, but at the same time, what do you tweet that you really would want to hide? I mean, if you want to tweet something really private and really, really personal... Chances are you're going to be sending it in a direct message, which they're not going to archive anyway. A lot of people have conversations on Twitter between two or three people. Many times they're very public. Do you like this? Yes, I like this. You know, people might get into arguments or anything. Maybe there are some things that you wouldn't want, but I don't know. Overall, I just don't see a problem with it.
Well, there was a study released a couple of weeks ago that was saying something about age difference,
mm-hmm.
that older Americans were really worried about protecting their identity and things, mm-hmm. and younger kids, like in their teens and 20s, were not really as concerned.
Right.
But young people, I think, still have that same feeling of needing to have some privacy.
Right.
Which is kind of what the survey shown was, that they're a little bit more open to share, mm-hmm. but they still have those privacy concerns.
I guess it comes down to the way you use Twitter. I mean, I'm using Twitter. I'm not talking about personal details. I don't even tweet what I had for dinner.
That's
at least
because
not
we're
usually.
Boring.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't do it anyway. Some people, you know, some people want to put their lives on display, and they have to, you know, probably would have to worry. But I don't know. I'm not seeing a problem from my perspective because I don't tweet things that I wouldn't want people to, I mean, you know, that I would mind people knowing.
Yeah, I can't really get an idea of what would be.
But some people have a real problem with this and think this is a real privacy invasion. And that's, I mean, you know, that's fine too.
True.
I don't know how it'll turn out. Maybe they'll be ordered to stop. Maybe they, you know, will be ordered by a court sometime down the road that this is not a good thing and they can't do it.
I think the main reason they're going to do the archiving and sort of data analysis is to mm-hmm. sort of see about how Twitter was used to deal with like earthquakes or tsunamis and natural disasters mm-hmm. and how people were actually working with it. There might be even a study by people dealing with food, you know,
mm-hmm.
how many people during this particular time period had ham sandwiches for
Yes,
lunch?
I agree. And I think that's why they're doing it, is for, you know, historical analysis for later use.
Now, I did see a tweet by Merlin Mann, who does the 43 folders
mm-hmm.
blog, which is he's very addicted to
organization
and inbox zero and this kind of thing. But apparently there is a book on Amazon that is like a compilation of tweets.
Wow.
And the person that did the book and released the book did not ask for permission for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are kind of up in arms over it because they didn't give their permission.
Yeah.
Now, there was a book back in the summer or fall of last year where it was sort of the same kind of thing. It was a coffee table book, you know. But the person that did the book actually contacted each person included in it to get their permission.
Now, there's a little bit of a difference in my mind between the Library of Congress archiving the tweets and someone writing a book with tweets. If you're writing a book, I mean, this is on display for everyone to see. If they're archived at a library, you know, they're going to stay there. I don't know that people are going to be getting the ability to randomly search tweets from any library in the country.
I don't know. I mean, technically, it is public data. So
yeah, it is public data, but it's not, you know, automatically on display for people to look at.
Yeah. Well,
if you want to find something, you have to go look for it, which you can already do anyway on Surmise or anything like that.
Yeah.
Most public tweets are archived that way.
Well, I think it'll probably end up being something that's put on a few hard drives in the back room, and it's sort of lost in.
Yeah,
the stacks.
I think
somewhere.
So too. And they'll give certain professors or something access to it, but that's about it. You know?
I think someone on, Leo Laporte or someone did a calculation to sort of guesstimate how many terabytes it would be, and it was like 10 terabytes of information.
And that's just now.
If they had 50 million tweets per day since the very beginning of Twitter, but they haven't until just recently. But if anybody has opinions on what is considered private and sort of gives you the feeling of queasiness when putting things on Twitter, let us know at techaccessweekly@gmail.com or direct message on Twitter.
Exactly. Or even by Twitter. We will now shift gears in a major way, a sort of major way, and talk about a new mobile phone specifically designed to go along with social networking. It is being released by Microsoft. It is called the Kin.
Yes, K-I-N. It's not Barbie's boyfriend.
No, not Ken. Kin.
I'm Southern. It doesn't make a lot of difference to say Kin.
Okay,
or
let's
Kin.
Move along.
Yes, anyway. Microsoft, in a press event last week, released the Kin 1 and Kin 2. These are new mobile phones that sort of resemble the old Sidekicks that came out in like the early 2000s, made by the Danger Corporation. Apparently, they were developed without the assistance of Danger staff from prior. But the phones are primarily texting phones. They are the Kin 1 has a 5-megapixel camera, it has 4 gigs of internal memory. It has a slide-out keyboard. It kind of looks like a round compact or something, you know, just fits in the palm of your hand. I think somebody compared it to maybe a hockey puck or something. It's going to have a lot of social engineering where you can easily send pictures to Flickr or Facebook or Twitter and things like that. The Kin 2 has an 8-megapixel camera, which is almost ridiculous in a cell phone. It has 8 gigs of memory, and it also has a slide-out keyboard. These phones will also be touchscreen also.
And they also have, like, social buttons on them. Like, they have a big green share button.
Yeah, and that's kind of the Kin spot, I guess, where you can easily send information to friends or family. One interesting button on the keypad is the fact that they have an emoticon.
Oh, yeah, the little winking thing.
Yeah, so it'll do the smiley faces and all that kind of stuff. The Kin 2 is actually going, it's kind of mixed reports, but I believe it was Paul Thurrott on the Windows Weekly podcast had said that the Kin 2 will actually be running the new Windows 7 phone operating system because it will have Zune integration so that you can get to the Zune marketplace and things like that. no real word on what the prices of these phones will be.
Yeah, from there's Verizon. Been a lot of speculation. Yeah, and they're Verizon phones.
But it's primarily targeting the 18 to 30 year old group that likes to do texting and things. The phones kind of look like a smartphone, but they are nowhere near a smartphone. I believe the one comment was, these are phones for the ADD crowd.
Yeah.
They have to be on top of everything that's going on constantly. Not my bag of tricks.
No, mine either. But there have been questions across the internet over the past week regarding the accessibility of these phones for blind and vision impaired users. And I did not see anywhere that these are going to become with built-in screen reader access. And I don't think they are. Sort of like Microsoft's general policy. But like we say, they're not out yet. We're not 100% sure what's going on, even how much they are. So we'll have to see. It'll be interesting if they don't have screen reader access, which is probably the case, how the Windows mobile screen reading devices, if they will even work with them. So that'll be another thing to watch out for in the future when these come out.
Yeah, and if anyone has heard in the past few couple months of Project Pink, that's kind of what this is.
Oh, okay.
This is the Project Pink from Microsoft that is now formed into Kin and Kin 2 with a Kin spot.
Switching gears a little bit, we're going to talk about Microsoft's competitor, Apple.
Yes, Apple also continued their fury and mass production of events going on. They released all new MacBooks and MacBook Pros last week. They released the 13-inch MacBook with a new Core 2 Duo processor and video card. Primarily, it's just a clock speed increase and video card has been stepped up a little bit. The Mac Pros, our 15 and 17 inch models, will have a better video card from NVIDIA, as well as Core i5 and 7 processors from Intel, which is a major step. I can honestly say that the Core i7 processors are outstanding in the tower computer that I have sitting here, as far as doing video and audio editing and things like that. That's pretty much the largest power increase in probably the last year or so from Apple in their Macs.
Oh, nice.
So anybody wanting a Mac, now's the time to get out there and get one. There hasn't been any information as far as whether they are going to upgrade the iMacs or Mac Pros, which is their tower computer. They do apparently have a event scheduled for the end of June. So that's assumed to be the new iPhone and possibly other hardware upgrades.
End of June.
Yes, end of June. It's around the 21st or 22nd. Supposedly, the AT&T reps have been told not to take vacation during June and July.
Wow.
Which usually gives you the idea that it's going to be an upgrade of the iPhone.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of speculation as to whether it's going to have a camera, that kind of thing, whether the screen's going to be upgraded to compete with the Droid and Nexus One from Google, that kind of thing. But anyway, we can shift now to accessibility.
Accessibility news. These first couple of things do indeed refer to the iPhone. There is a new iPhone app out. It costs $4.99. It is called iMean, and it was developed by a computer programmer and his autistic son to help those with autism and other communication disorders, communicate. It works by, it has a database of words and pictures, and people can either, depending on their, you know, disorder, they can either type the words if they work better, you know, reading than actually talking, or if they don't work well with words and need to use pictures to communicate, they can point to various pictures, and the person helping them communicate can supply the words. It's, like I said, $4.99. and just out. I don't know of anyone who has used it and can, you know, testify to how it works, but I think this is a very ingenious use of the iPad. It definitely takes advantage of the iPad's portability and, you know, ability to manipulate and use graphics to enhance communication on the go for, you know, those with autism. Now you don't have to drag around big, you know, folders worth of pictures. Now you have this little little screen that can display them for you very quickly and easily. So that I thought was a very interesting development. Another development for the iPad is that now people using VoiceOver can purchase the a cappella voices. I believe you can purchase them through the iPad App Store.
Whichever they're calling it.
I'm sort of confused. But we all know the a cappella voices, they work. They have been out for the Windows Mobile phones for a while, and they are just now coming out on the iPhone and iPad.
Are these like a step up from VoiceOver?
Actually, no. These are sort of like Kate and Paul kind of voices, like you have for Zoom text. Okay. They're kind of the same. VoiceOver is about the same. The VoiceOver is about the same quality as NeoSpeech, and a cappella is in there too. I don't have these. I tried using Mobile Speak with a cappella, and I found the voice was very heavy on resources, and so the phone was like going as slow as molasses. So for me, it didn't work very well. But you know, they may have lighter versions out, and you know, the iPad has probably more memory than a smartphone or the one I was using.
Well, an iPad, I believe, has a 1 gigahertz processor and 256 megs of RAM, something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's probably the processor speed that is necessary. So maybe folks would need to use a more up-to-date phone out there instead of one of the older models, kind of like we're
what
using.
What we have. Well, okay, now we're going to move on a little bit. Speaking of voices, Saratech now is offering the RealSpeak Solo Direct Voices, or I don't know if they call it the same thing, but the RealSpeak Voices that have been offered with JAWS 10 and 11. They are offering them for purchase with Saratech products. So if you have System Access to Go, Saratalk is their podcast. Whoopsie. If you have System Access to Go, any of their other screen magnification and reading products, you can purchase these voices to go with them. They have, I believe, they have the same 12 voices that Freedom Scientific has with JAWS. You can purchase each one for $25. They come in American English, British English, Australian, Indian English and Spanish. Very good voices. I use them with JAWS a lot. So people now have more choices with Saratech. Recently they just added Eloquence, and now they're adding these voices to keep up with the competition, I guess. Speaking of JAWS and Freedom Scientific, JAWS 11 had an update this week to 11.0.1140 or something like that. I get the numbers mixed up. Quite frankly, I don't know a whole lot about what the new features are for this. I know that with the Research It feature, they have added more lookup sources, so you can search for more things on the fly on the internet. I believe that there are some new improvements in the way that JAWS handles tables and worksheets in Excel. And there are also some new improvements with the Braille display support. Now, I don't know all the details. FreedomScientific.com has what's new in JAWS 11, and you can look it up there if you're really interested. I have the update. I'm not noticing a difference. I just let it sort of chug along. You know, it'll do what it'll do, and not, you know, you won't get a really good update with nifty new features until you go to another version. So,
well, have there been any difficulties shown on forums or Twitter?
Well, the only thing that I have seen is that some people with 64-bit Windows systems are having problems with their Twitter applications and JAWS now, and JAWS 11. All of a sudden, their Twitter applications aren't working. And so Freedom Scientific is going to have to figure out what it broke and fix it. I'm not sure if it's just the Twitter applications or if this problem, the same issue, is extending into other parts of the 64-bit system, but I have been hearing it over Twitter, about Twitter.
I'm going to guess it's probably a driver issue or something, because that's usually the problem when going to 64-bit is hardware Maybe. Or software drivers.
Maybe. But I don't know. They broke something. They'll have to fix it.
At least there's no problem with activation.
No, no. God, thank God. I've been sort of waiting over the past... Yet. I've been waiting over the past couple days. I've restarted at least 10 times. I haven't had a problem. but after each update, I always have to wait and see. Even now, even when I'm not updating, even when it's been a month, I always anticipate that I'm going to hear that message again. And moving along.
Optical Braille?
Yes, I think JAWS has updated its Braille display drivers, at least driver by driver. And there is a company that has updated its optical Braille recognition software. It's called Vision something. I forget the name of the company. It's kind of bad. But... it has software called Optical Braille Recognition, and you can take a Braille sheet of paper, put it on a scanner, run it through a scanner, and supposedly it will turn the Braille that it sees, into text. And it is a piece of Windows software. It is not made for the Mac. Apparently, the quality of the recognition is fairly good. It also works on dual-sided documents, if, of course, you have a duplex document feeder that can feed in the pages. You can scan both sides at once. And this is very helpful for teachers who do not know Braille, who maybe they want to read their students' Braille assignments. So they put it through the scanner, and it will turn out print alternative text. So that is an interesting new development. Apparently, their new version has gotten a whole lot better. And if you'd like to know more about it, check out our Delicious site. There are a couple of articles on there about it. Or you can look up optical Braille recognition. You can search for it, and more information will come up.
And we can always Twitter it.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I think I did Twitter it last week, but I can't be sure.
Huh. Well, we can Twitter it again, because you can retweet.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. Amazing, the things you forget. Okay. Moving right along, that is all the accessibility news I have. But we would like to talk about some very troubling spiritual matters that have surfaced over the past few days. What were you thinking? A gaming company called GameStation out of England or Britain or someplace like that inserted a clause into their contracts beginning April 1st that indicated that if you purchased from them, they will gain rights to your immortal soul.
You agree to grant us a non-transferable option to claim for now and forevermore your immortal soul. Now, granted, this was put into their EULAs and agreements and everything for April Fool's Day.
But they intended it as an April Fool's joke to illustrate how many people do not read contracts.
Yeah, it's kind of a Easter egg looking thing. I believe a few years ago, some company put a thing in there saying that if you see this particular line, please call us at X. This particular number, and we'll give you $1,000 on the spot type of thing. Mm-hmm. And only one person ever called in for it.
Oh my, that is really kind of sad.
But this is kind of funny too, because I believe it was last year, some guy actually put on eBay that he was to sell his soul.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And he got like five or six bids on it for up to, I believe it was like $40 or something, and eBay ended up taking it down because it was like an internal organ or something.
Internal organ?
Well, they claimed that it was like an internal body part or physiological something or another that violated their terms of service.
$40?
Yeah, I guess souls just aren't worth what they used to be.
Your life is only worth $3.60.
Eh?
So there's some kind of social networking thing. Somebody did a study based on fan websites or something. I heard it on Buzz Out Loud, but I'm not really sure about all the thing. But that your life of a fan on a fan page is worth $3.60. So $40 is more than that. Still not a lot, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, moving right along.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, a prom visit turned into a visit from the repo man on the limousine owner.
Yeah, apparently all these kids were going to their prom and the driver had taken them there and the driver was just standing there and this repo man comes up, takes the limousine, gets in and drives off. And they're all staring at each other like, what in the world was that all about?
Apparently there was a miscommunication between the insurance company and a collection agency and the limousine
the
was
bank,
swiped away.
Yeah, and apparently the issue was worked out. The bank just didn't know that the issue had been worked out, so came and got it by a repo man.
And apparently they are going to give a discount and possibly a free trip at some point to these students because the car was taken away.
Oh, my.
Unexpectedly.
Unexpectedly.
That had to be a little bit of a concerning thing when all of a sudden somebody hops in the car and drives off.
Yeah, you would think.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of unexpected. Try not to fall off your Wii Fit exercise equipment, folks. A woman in Manchester, England did just that, and now she is experiencing a perpetual, sexual excitement.
Yes. She is having, as she put it, issues down below where anything from cell phones to
food processors
will give her excitement and ecstasy feelings, I guess.
Yes, and this
portion is not extremely safe for kids.
Yeah.
We're trying.
It all started when she fell off her Wii Fit and, must have twinged a nerve down there or something. And apparently she needs help coping with this scheduling problem because feelings don't always come on when it's convenient to deal with them.
And apparently she needs 10 such assistive calls per day, but unfortunately she is single and can only get
relief in single fashion
from food processors
and
the like. But she is looking for a super stud to assist with these issues.
So if you're interested, go to the register, find the article, you know.
Oh, did it have contact information? Let me see.
Actually, I don't think it did.
No. Damn.
But it did have a comment section.
Maybe she's got a Twitter account.
Anyway, we'll stop right there.
Yeah, because it's
degenerating rapidly downhill.
Yeah, and you never know where it's going to go.
Exactly. On that note, that was the last story I had on my list to cover today.
Yes, and we have been asking over the past couple weeks if listeners would please help us out by taking a listener survey that you can find on our website, techaccessweekly.com. It should take about 15 or 20 minutes. It'll help us out to learn a little bit more about the listeners and what we can do to improve this show and gain more followers.
If you have things that we can do to improve the show and you just can't wait and you really want to tell us about it, you can do so in one of the following ways. To make a comment of any kind, you can follow us on Twitter at @TA_weekly. You can email us at techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You can visit our website. Or to look at the stories that we have considered for this episode, you can go to delicious.com/techaccess/36.
Yes.
There is no 35 listed because
we did list that one as 35.
No, I retagged them all.
Oh, okay. Yes. For episode 35, which was the Farmville.
Down on the farm.
Which was the Farmville demonstration. Mm-hmm. There were no show notes for that.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone wants show notes for that, good luck finding them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that was just sort of a spur of the moment. Let's do this to be silly. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it came off that way.
Yeah.
And hopefully we didn't scare anyone.
Hopefully not. With that said.
But I will say one thing about the farm town. Mm-hmm. It has music that is kind of similar to Desperate Housewives.
Really?
It's not really farm sounding-ish. It's kind of creepy.
Well, we will say goodbye here and talk at you all next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Or you may leave a voice message at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. Please visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.